Ladies and gentlemen, creatures of all species, welcome back to Plot Armor Plus, episode 15. This week, we're going to be covering...
Ruben of Earth, I have some unfortunate information for you.
I mean, it can't be any worse than being trapped on an alien satellite against my will.
It would seem the last 10 episodes you have recorded have been corrupted by the solar eclipse occurring on Earth.
Does that got anything with that black hole we went through? Wait, hold on, did you say the last 10 episodes?
Correct. It would seem that the singularity of the black hole has corrupted the transmissions.
So 10 episodes, that puts us back at... just right after Gurren Lagann.
That is correct. We will require you to redo these transmissions.
What a waste of time. Let me look around. Do I got notes somewhere from that episode? Nope. It looks like we're gonna have to wing it. If I remember, episode 6 was...
Mobile Suit Gundam.
Now, you might be thinking, Ruben, why would you do Gundam? It's a super well-known anime. And yes and no. It is well-known that there is many, multiple different Gundam series out there, ranging from Gundam G to Gundam Wing, all the way to the last installment, which was Gundam Witch of Mercury. And they do believe there's another one coming out on Netflix. So it is a very well-known anime. Despite that, though, not many people have seen the original OG, or 0079, Gundam, and some people don't understand the exact influence it had on modern-day anime and mecha anime in general. Before we get into all that, though, let's get into general information about OG Mobile Suit Gundam 0079. It was originally created by Yoshiyuki Tomino. Not only was he the creator of the Gundam series, but he also did a lot of writing on the original Astro Boy. The series originally ran from April 7th, 1979 to January 26th of 1980. It was produced by Sunrise Studios, who are also known for Outlaw, Cowboy Bebop, and everyone's favorite half-dog, half-demon, Inuyasha. Similar to Gurren Lagann, this didn't have an original manga release before the anime. There was a manga that was created right after the original release in 1979, but it did spawn off multiple spin-offs. Alright, now we're gonna get into a synopsis. But before that, let me just preface it with a little something. Like we said earlier, there's a bunch of Gundam series out there, and not all of them take place in the same universe. Although some series are sequels to each other, they don't follow a linear path. For example, the well-known Gundam Wing does not follow anything from this timeline. The timeline we're going to be referring to is commonly referenced as Universal Century. Universal Century, for the most part, is considered the main timeline of the Gundam series. That's not to say that the series that take place in the Universal Century are better, that's just to say that those follow the rough timeline that comes from the original Gundam series. Alright, with that out of the way, let's get into it.
In the year Universal Century 0079, humans have expanded from Earth and have created space colonies. These large tube-like colonies have dispersed across the solar system. One of these colonies is the Principality of Zeon, who claimed their independence from Earth, thus starting a solar civil war known as the One-Year War. Zeon has an edge in the war after the development of new humanoid weapons called mobile suits. In an attempt to sway the war in their favor, the Earth Federation creates a mobile suit known as the RX-78 Gundam.
Alright, so what is the main power source for this show? The main power sources are the mobile suits themselves and a thing called new types. Mobile suits are large, humanoid-like robots. that are piloted by people, and in the right hands could be much deadlier than any other ship. And just to be clear, Gundams are a specific type of mobile suit. Every Gundam is a mobile suit technically, but not every mobile suit is a Gundam. And then we have what's called new types. New types are people who are usually born out in space that exhibit some type of mental capability far greater than a regular human. Stuff that looks almost like they're psychic, or they could do things like predict the future a little bit before they actually happen. Not seeing far to the future, but almost like they could react to things a lot quicker than the regular human it can, because they've seen it just a little bit before it happened. You could kind of see how the mobile suits and the new types work together. Although anyone could learn how to pilot a mobile suit, someone who is a new type can generally pilot that suit a little bit better just because of their natural abilities. Alright, so now let's get into the characters. I'm only going to cover two characters because these two characters lay out the format for basically every other Gundam series. Like I said, not all of them, but a lot in the Universal Century, and even those not in the Universal Century, have this kind of cookie cutter mold where you have this one protagonist that is set off in a certain way, and this secondary antagonist slash rival who comes out in a certain way, to the point where a lot of these characters almost look the same, like the protagonist in this series and the protagonist for another Universal Century series will be eerily identical. First off, we have Amuro Ray. This is our protagonist. He is a 15-year-old boy with a knack for mechanics. So much so, he created a small sphere-shaped bot called Haro in his room by himself. If you don't know, Haro, since the original, has become kind of like the Gundam mascot. He's a small ball that opens up in the middle, has little hands that pop out, and he comes in a plethora of colors now, but he originates from the original Gundam. Despite that, you could find a Haro in basically every Gundam series. I don't think there is one. Actually, I think Iron-Blooded Orphans don't have Haros. Correct me if I'm wrong. I mean, I don't know how you would do that. I guess, at me somewhere. You know, on the Instagram or something. I don't know if I'll be able to read it, but you can still correct me. Anyways, back to Amuro. He lives on Colony Side 7 with his father, Tem Ray. Tem is the project leader to Project V, the project designed to create the Gundam. In a Zeon recon mission gone awry, Amuro is forced to pilot the Gundam himself to defend his home. And like I said, if you watched any other Gundam before this one, that's gonna sound kinda familiar. There's gonna be a situation that puts our young protagonist into a situation in which he has to pilot the Gundam. And just like Amuro, they're usually, you know, naturally gifted, but not very skilled. They're obviously not pilots, but they learn to become pilots. The only reason they usually survive is because of the superior ability of the Gundam itself. On the flip side of this, we usually have a very experienced pilot whose skills keep him on par with the Gundam. This rival is known as Char Aznable. Based on the infamous Red Baron, Char is an ace mobile suit pilot for Zeon. This masked pilot is known as the Red Comet for single-handedly taking out 5 battleships in a single battle. It was said that he moved so quickly that his red custom mobile suit seemed like a comet flying through space. He's the main antagonist figure for the beginning of the show. He's constantly trying to chase down Amuro and his team to get a hold of the Gundam. But despite his excellence in the Zeon fleet, he is no lapdog, and he has his own secret agenda. He was known as such a good pilot that they literally cloned him in other series. Basically, another version of him shows up again and again and again. I'm here for it, though. In fact, one of my favorite characters from a different series is a Char clone, and he's known as Full Frontal Assault, and boy does he own that name. Now that we're getting closer to the end, you might be thinking, okay Ruben, this sounds like just any other anime you've covered, what makes this one different? Well, it's because of the cultural importance of it during the time it came out. So originally before this, back in 1979, what was really popular was the superhero anime. In fact, it was called the Super Robot anime. Think more of your Power Ranger style TV show, where there's a giant monster or something bad really happening, and a giant robot shows up out of nowhere, and it seems to have infinite power, and has a giant sword that comes out of nowhere, and it saves the day. That was what was really common at that time. Then comes Gundam, which is science fiction, but had a lot of basis in reality. For example, in one of the early episodes, Char and Amuro are fighting in space, and Char charges Amuro. Amuro goes to do the initial thought, which is to brace himself. You know, if you're standing, you want to brace yourself if you see someone charging. But Char, he mentions to him, "Hey dummy, we're in space. That doesn't work here." So that little thought of space battle versus ground battle adds layers to this show that, you know, most superhero animes don't even think about. Not only that, but a lot of the war is based in reality. In fact, you know, the mobile suits, they run out of ammunition, or their batteries die. They can't just keep on fighting forever. They have to go back and get maintenance. They're also worried about where they hit the other mobile suits, because some of these mobile suits are powered by nuclear reactors. So if you're in a civil area and you destroy a mobile suit, you're basically unloading a mini nuke in a city. So they have to think about stuff like that. On top of the actual logistics of combat, a lot of these storylines are based in real war type situations. Like in the first episode, the colony is being attacked and everyone's evacuating and there's people dying. There you see people looking for their relatives, not being able to find them. It's very much based in reality. And due to that, Gundam actually, when it initially came out, was very not liked. You know, you go from this super happy, you know, the end of the day, everything's saved, to something where every day these basically children are faced with war. What actually saved Gundam from the whole of being canceled was the introduction of the Gundam Plastic Model Kit, or Gunpla for anyone who's in the hobby. Anyone who knows me knows I love Gunpla. I love being able to take these things and put them together to make these nice little fully fleshed out robots. And back in 1979, although very rudimentary, that's what got Gundam back on the map to the point where people started to watch it a little bit more and understanding it. Had it not been Bandai Namco, which is a parent company of Sunrise, producing these, Gundam probably would have never made it past the first season. And here we are 45 years later with a plethora of other Gundam series under its belt. Because of Gundam Mobile Suit Gundam, we now have Fighter G Gundam, Gundam Wing, Iron-Blooded Orphans, Gundam Seed, and Gundam Seed Destiny. The list goes on and on. Alright. Now that with that being said, I'm going to rate this specific Gundam Mobile Suit Gundam. I'm going to rate this A 10. So I'm going to say A is the rank and 10 is going to be the highest I go in any letter group. So there's not going to be 11, 12, 13, 10. It's the very bottom rung of 10, or A, I should say. Reason being is just the influence this anime has had on the anime community. Now, because of this, we have a lot more animes that have a taste of thought in them that seeps us more in reality. Everything's not hunky-dory, and it's not all just because of magic. You know, people have to think logically about certain things in order for them to make sense. Even if the reasoning is fantastic, or if it's in a fake science, it has to make sense. And I believe a lot of that stems from Gundam breaking the mold out of the super robot genre. So, that being said, though, the anime is very old. It's very dated, and there's a lot of fluctuation with, like, the sizes of things and the audio quality, and that's just because of its time. You know, it's a very old anime, and things weren't perfect. People were drawing every little thing by hand. Didn't have CGI. I could see past that. Some of the music is also a little dated, and this was originally made for a Japanese-only audience. It got semi-released in Italy to see how it would go, and then they spread it out to the rest of the world, which I don't think it got an actual full release in America until Toonami started putting it out, besides, like, obviously video sets and stuff like that. So by that time, it was very dated. But that being said, story-wise, it's still really solid. I think it deserves a spot amongst the most influential animes of all time. But that's just me. If you want to argue with me, you know, you can always hit me up on Instagram. Like I said, I'm on there as REC Matrix. I probably won't be able to respond, but I know Ruben on Earth will be very pissed off if he said something about Gundam. I could tell you we both love this series very much. We tend to rewatch some of the older ones like Gundam Wing and Fighter G. Been building Gunpla since 2015, so almost 10 years. If you ever been to my apartment, or if you can see it on Instagram, my whole wall is covered in these model kits that I've built. And I have some that I can't even display because either they're too old, they're falling apart, this, and that, or I just don't have enough room. I need like 10 more shelves to put them all up. Well, thank you guys so much for listening. I apologize for the holdup. I guess the black hole messed up my transmissions. So we're going to start from episode 6. I apologize it's taken so long to get this back out. I was in the black hole. I'm sure Ruben had a good excuse, like maybe he was traveling a lot. I think he may have started a new job. I don't know what his deal is, but I'm sure there's a good reason why no one has done anything on here. All right, one last time. You can follow me on Instagram at REC Matrix. Me and Earth Ruben, we like to work out. We like raccoons. We love music. I think Earth Ruben just went to the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame not too long ago. So, I mean, that would have been nice to go, but I guess good for him. If you want to follow us anywhere else, we are also on Turning Tables Podcast, where Earth Ruben plays as a kobold artificer in our live play D&D podcast. If you like D&D, you like shenanigans, you like weird stuff, come give us a listen. If you don't, that's okay. It's a free world, you can do whatever you want. A little sneak peek for next episode. If you steal a kiss from a witch, it may give you superpowers or give you back the powers you already had. I don't know, it's a weird one. In the meantime, if you run into trouble, try to find your nearest mobile suit. Jump in that thing.
Music this episode was Fly Gundam by Ko Ikeda and Galliant Char from Mobile Suit Gundam OST.